93rd Psalm. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He is girded with strength. Yea, the world is established. It shall never be moved. Thy throne is established from of old. Thou art from everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their roaring. Mightier than the thunders of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Thy decrees are very sure. Holiness befits thy house, O Lord, forevermore. Almighty and everlasting God, in whom we live and move and have our very beings, we, thy needy creatures, render thee our humble praises for thy preservation of us from the beginning of our lives to this day, and especially for having delivered us from the dangers of the past night. For these thy mercies, we bless and magnify thy glorious name, humbly beseeching thee to accept this our morning sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And since it is of thy mercy, O gracious Father, that another day is added to our lives, we here would open both our souls and our bodies to thee and thy service in a sober, righteous, and godly life, in which resolution do thou, O merciful Father, confirm and strengthen us, that as we grow in age, we may grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But, O God, who knowest the weakness and corruption of our nature and the manifold temptations which we daily meet with, we humbly beseech thee to have compassion on our infirmities and to give us the constant assistance of thy Holy Spirit, that we may be effectually restrained from sin and incited to our duty. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Today we are very happy to have to lead us in the service of worship in our chapel, the Reverend Robert Turner. Mr. Turner is a native of Nashville, Tennessee, and a graduate of the University of the South, both taking both the undergraduate degree and the theological degree, that is at Suwannee. He has served as pastor of churches in both Tennessee and North Carolina, and for 6 years was missionary to the Republic of Panama. Since September of this year, he has been serving as the pastor of St. John the Baptist Episcopal Church in Wake Forest, North Carolina. We talked before we came that here is at least one Baptist Episcopal Church. After we have stood to sing hymn number 116, we will hear him gladly.
It's a very great joy to me to be with you and to share with you some thoughts about the first missionary in the Christian Fellowship, whom we who follow the liturgical tradition remember today, who is St. Andrew the Apostle, the patron saint of Scotland, first missionary to India, according to Christian tradition. And to think of some of what he can mean as a man in our walking with him, in our prayers and in our study and in our thoughts, in our ministry together to other people, and also in our life together as Christian people. One of the most interesting things about the ministry to me is what John the Baptist said about himself . The fact that he, our Lord Jesus Christ, must always be increasing, but that we must decrease. I think as we look at the very slim record of St. Andrew in the Gospel according to John, we see that Andrew learned this lesson very well. We see him, first of all, leaving John and following our Lord Jesus Christ when John says, "Look, that is the Lamb of God." And immediately he and another disciple, whom Archbishop Temple says no doubt was the beloved disciple, these two followed him. And then immediately after staying with him, he does the most natural thing in the world. He brings his brother to Jesus. But I wonder if very often we don't do the unnatural thing. When we have seen the Lamb of God, don't we sometimes rush out of our houses to spread the good news throughout the world and forget about our brother? Terribly easy to do. And very difficult to bring our brother, and to sit down and to talk with him, and to tell him, and to come with him, and perhaps most difficult of all, to live with him in the fellowship, particularly if he's a man like Simon Peter. The second thing that John brings out about Andrew is in the 6th chapter of St. John, the 8th verse, in the feeding of the 5,000, the very interesting thing that Andrew takes little children very seriously. And the whole story of the feeding of the 5,000 hangs on the fact that Andrew took little children very seriously. I like to read between the lines of that story in my own devotional life, and to think that certainly the little boy who had no doubt brought his lunch for the day out must have heard our Lord speak to Philip and ask him the question about how all these people were to be fed. And already he must have made friends with Andrew and probably was sitting with him listening and must have tagged at Andrew's sleeve and offered his lunch, his few barley loaves and his few small fishes, said, "You are welcome to what I have." He was willing to go without in order that everyone might have something. Yet I wonder how many of us in similar circumstances would have listened to the little boy or paid him any attention, even to the extent of offering or mentioning to the Lord the fact of what the little boy had said. We have tremendous numbers of young people in Sunday schools and church schools, but how many of us take those little children seriously and think, as Andrew did, not so much of what we have to offer them, or what we are duty-bound to give them, but more important, the living truth and the living substance which God may be waiting to give us through them. Perhaps we might do away with some of our Sunday schools if we took children more seriously. And if we really found out what they think about our Sunday schools and our playing with them and instructing them, we might have to start all over again. Something we are thinking about in the Episcopal Church and thinking how foolish sometimes we are when we think we are so grown up. In the 12th chapter of St. John, Andrew is shown playing the same role, performing the same function, doing the same thing as before, being a go-between, people outside, and our Lord himself. When those of the Greeks came and they speak to Philip and say, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Philip speaks to Andrew. Andrew and Philip together take them to our Lord. And when this happens, our Lord says, "The hour is come. The hour is come." This was what he had been waiting for. For those to whom St. Paul said the gospel of God's salvation is foolishness, when these people come, then the hour is come for the Son of Man to be glorified. We see in the Acts of the Apostles, when the list of the apostles is given, that Andrew has succeeded in moving from first place to fourth place. Quite an accomplishment. Still in the list, but moving down. Still listening to the words of John the Baptist. He must increase, but I must decrease. And this decreasing often comes right within the fellowship of the church, doesn't it? And perhaps there, most of all, it is hardest for us to understand and to stomach. But this is most important of all, that we learn to live together, that we take advantage of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which we share as a fellowship, and that we be within the fellowship missionaries to one another, a giving of what God gives us, and sharing freely of these things. Perhaps this is the greatest call I think that we have as Christian people today, to do just this. Perhaps it is being forced upon us by circumstances outside the United States, that today we are being called, as never before, to a depth of unity, a visible unity, that we have never thought of before. And we in the Anglican Communion have been especially helped by the Church of South India, where Andrew first went, and by the fact that people there have demonstrated that they can go beyond